I'm just going to preach a little bit from the Word of God. You'd be glad to know, and not from a book or some other book. And then we're going to receive the offering after that, and see what else the Lord wants to do with us tonight. Coming to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 5 reads, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I tend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, yes, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Again, Lord, that we thank you and praise you and bless you for your presence in this place. And we ask even now, beloved Savior, to manifest your glory in our midst. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Manifest your presence once again. I ask you, Lord, to help me tonight, to use me for your glory. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for my dependence upon you is absolute. It is complete. And at the end of the day, Lord, be glorified. Only you must receive the glory. At the end of the day, cause every eye to be open, every ear to be unstopped, every heart to be perceptive. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. We had a great morning. Wow. Amen. It was, whew, man, it was something else. I just have one word, and it's momentum. Last Sunday night, again, for those of us who were here, God met with us in ways that he hadn't met with us in a long time. And this morning he just broke out even. And it was just nice. That's the only way I can describe it. And we had that. Just want to bless Matt again. He put together the PowerPoint. Just leading up to the 2 minute silence. It was so powerful. So, so evocative. You were in the story as we remember these incredible men and women who over the last 100 years have paid an incredible price And the amazing thing is many of them won't see themselves as heroes. They were just doing what they were asked to do, and they were just doing what they needed to do. We learned again today that in the First World War, over 6 million people, 6 million men, to be precise, approximately, were either conscripted or enlisted to fight at the front lines in France. Just over 750,000 perished. They fought a long, hard war, 4 solid years, against a force that many believed at that time to be unstoppable. But God was faithful, and the war was won for a while. And during that time of warfare, I don't think that they had anything else that was going on in their worlds apart from the fact that today I'm going to wake up if I have slept and I'm going to engage the enemy again. Some wars lasted for up to 100 days, non-stop. Some battles, should I say. They lasted for up to 100 days. The very last battle, actually, was 100 days in length, leading up to the 11th of November. Did they know what they were fighting for? Who knows? It's easy to sort of like romanticize these things. But let me tell you something. War is bloody. I have never been on a battlefield. But I know that war is bloody. War is destructive. There is absolutely, when it comes to war in the physical, people say, well, there are no winners, but the reality is it is completely destructive. Yes. Completely destructive. And those who fought in both of the great wars could not go into either of those wars half-heartedly. Even the recent conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan and all the men and women who've gone out to serve our nation, you know, they could not, it's impossible for them to have gone out half-heartedly and just think, well, you know something, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really up for this today. I'm sure some of them may have felt like that. But they knew that they had a duty to fulfill. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians church, and he says to them, guys, you think we walk according to the flesh, but we don't. You've got the wrong idea about your apostles, about your leaders. We don't walk according to the flesh. And neither do we war according to the flesh. There are 4 things that need concerning your life that must be spiritual and not fleshy or carnal. Your worship, your walk, your warfare, and your witness. Your worship can't be carnal. If your worship is carnal, stop it. Stop worshiping. If your worship is solely or soulful or soulish, just stop. Catch yourself and stop and say, I don't know what this is, but I'm not doing it. I tell you why. Because he is spirit. And he not only deserves, but demands spirit and truth worship. Your worship and my worship has nothing to do with how we feel. It has nothing to do with what's going on in our lives. It has nothing to do with what is breaking down on the inside of us, or even what is wonderful about our lives, or what's going on that is so cool and so amazing on the inside. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with our complete abandonment to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. He is spirit. And worship that is not 100% spirit comes before him as something that is contaminated. And this is why we have the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the person of the Holy Spirit teaches us how to worship in spirit. Amen. Your worship cannot be fleshy. There's been times when I've been in my prayer closet and I've just been worshiping, at least I thought I was worshiping God. And I just, like I said, like I've just said, I just, in my spirit, I just said, no, I'm not doing this, Lord. I stopped. I said, God, I'm not doing this. This way. You deserve more. I stopped and I said, God, I want to worship you the way you deserve and you demand to be worshiped. Can you help me, Holy Spirit? And as I knelt down and I stretched out my hands and I closed my eyes, no words came out. I shut off YouTube. I didn't sort of like go off on a tangent in my thinking or try to be creative. I just stayed in his presence and I just looked up to heaven. I just looked up to heaven and I just began to blow kisses. I just began to release kisses to God. I said nothing. As the hot tears were falling down my face, I just began to release my affection to him. I'm not talking about praying in my heavenly language. That happened, but there was something that it started out praying in my heavenly language, church, but there was a level that I broke into. There was a ceiling that I broke through. And this is the thing, church. He says, we're not, guys, you think we're fleshy. We're not fleshy. We're not fleshy people. You can almost hear him saying, Paul, you know something? I've been to the third heaven. You know, I have seen things you can't even begin to dream about. So we are not fleshy. We are not carnal. And he doesn't want us to be, he wants our worship to be pure. He wants our worship to be pure. And you know something? Something that both myself and Pastor Sue really believe is going to happen. I really believe, we really believe that God is going to break that ceiling over this house, over your lives, over your homes, over your times of worship and your times of devotion. I really believe, we truly trust God, that God is going to mark us. He is going to mark us in this house as those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Those who have, you know something? Those who have learned to discard all of that dross and all of that fluff and all of that man-made stuff, that all of that stuff that will not be able to stand the fire of the Spirit of God, and we are completely released in abandonment to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. He inhabits not only the praises of his people, but when we worship him that way, he says, I'm going to make you my sanctuary. The point of my message tonight is we're remembering those who've fallen in a physical battle, a physical wars over the last 100 years. But we are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual war, and we have spiritual allies. We are part of a kingdom, and it's a united kingdom, and we have spiritual allies. We have angelic hosts. Can you hear me, church? Who do you think you are tonight? Do you think that you are just a nobody? You are an anointed, consecrated, highly ranked child of the living God. Amen. With the mighty hand of God upon your life, specifically and strategically singled out to be a liberator of those who are still in captivity. The reason why Paul uses the analogy of the blinding of the eyes, the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever, therefore, they might not be able to see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the express image of the Father. The reason why he uses that analogy is because the captives of war, at that time, the first thing that they would do, especially for the strong men and the mighty warriors, was to put out their eyes. Before they were even taken into slavery, they will put out their eyes. And they will have to be led all the days of their life. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. They are captives right now. They are captives. You say, are we fighting a war? He says, we don't walk in the flesh, but we don't war in the flesh. We don't walk in the flesh. Your worship can't be fleshy. Your walk cannot be fleshy. God said to Abraham, walk thee before me and be thou holy. He says, walk before me and be separate. Be separate from everything else that you understand to be carnal, everything you understand to be of this present age. Because Abraham, what I'm about to do through you, I have not done through any man on this earth. What I'm about to bring through your life has not been brought through. Do you realize when I say your calling, your plan, God's plan for your life is specific and unique, do you not know that God, what God is about to do through your life, I'm not just talking about what he's already done. What God is about to do through your life has never been done through the life of anybody on this earth. What will be the point of that? If God is going to duplicate through your life, the thing he's doing about to do through your life, if it's a duplicate of something else, what is the point? There is absolutely no point. He's already done it through that person. That battle has already been won. Now he is saying, child of God, can you give me authentic worship? Because what I'm going to do through your worship in this earth has never been done before. Can you walk before me the way I need you to walk before me? Because what I'm about to do through your life on this earth has never been done before. What about your warfare?
Amen.
He says, guys, hurry up and sit down. Quick, sit down. He says, we don't walk according to the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. The weapons, you have some weapons. You have some weapons. And you cannot know or learn or understand how to wield if your walk is still carnal. Church, we all have a decision to make. We all have a choice to make. I said this morning, by way of discernment, examine yourself. For the things in your life, the things in your heart that have contaminated your worship, that have contaminated your walk. You know something? And I'm first in line. Stop trying to justify what you do and who you are before God. The things that you're holding on to, that you should not hold on to, let it go. As much pain was caused you, as much hurt was caused you, let it go. Because there is absolutely nothing that you can say or do to justify holding on to the resentment, the unforgiveness, the bitterness. Nothing. You know why? Because if we feel that we can justify ourselves in one thing, then it means that we can justify ourselves in all things. And if we can justify ourselves in all things, then we are wholly lost. Your walk has to be spiritual. The condition of your heart reflects the state of your walk. What we entertain ourselves with. How can we say, okay, we want to stand for truth, we want to stand for the word of God, we want to stand for, biblical marriage and all the wonderful things that God has sanctified. On the face of it, we say we don't agree with homosexuality, we don't agree with this, we don't agree with that, yet we entertain ourselves with programs that are so pushing hard on the LGBT agenda. They make us laugh, they make us giggle. We have a great time and we lap it up. But you need to know that entertainment is Satan's substitute for the joy of the Lord. It's his substitute. It's his diversion. The music we listen to. company we keep. This walk has to be spiritual before your warfare can be spiritual. The reason why we don't win battles as we should do is because we're not walking as we should walk. And the reason why we're not walking as we should walk is because we are not worshiping as we should worship. Because everything begins with our worship. But as soon as we get our worship right, we get our walk right. As soon as we get our walk right, then we get our warfare right. And he teaches us to use the weapons of our warfare in such ways that they are truly powerful and effective. That is why, as soon as we lay hold of this truth, our prayer lives will be transformed. You are somebody significant in God. But now the question I have for you is this. What do you think you're fighting for? What is your war about? Your personal war. There's a war of the saint, a personal warfare of the saint. There's a generic one, but there's a personal one. Do you understand what the generic one is? As I've just described, of course, praise the Lord. Scripture tells us about the captives. Even Revelation talks about the war in heaven. It's a war in heaven. Our allies right now are fighting aerial warfare in the heavenly realm. But what is your personal war about? What is God speaking to you about? What's he set you apart for? I ask this question because if we don't stop and actually have a confident answer to that question, then it means that we don't even know why we're fighting this fight, this spiritual fight for our sons, for our daughters, for this generation. It means we don't even know why. And the result of that is this. It won't happen straight away, but the eventual result is this. Where we started out with such determination, such passion, such commitment, if we don't know what we are fighting for, it all comes back to us, about us. It all becomes about our needs, our issues, our shortcomings. It all turns inward as opposed to outward. And that's when we stop. That's when we begin to stagnate. That's when we begin to get tired. That's when we lose focus. That's when we lose interest. That's when we start to throw away our attention to detail. It's all about us. It's all the mundane. It's all the same old, same old. I said last week, Sunday evening, the life of the believer should be an adventure. It should be an everyday adventure. It should never be boring. I wonder if Adam and Eve were bored. I don't think they were. Let's have the band back because I'm finished now. Your worship needs to be spiritual. Your walk needs to be spiritual. Your warfare needs to be spiritual so that your witness can be spiritual. We are not making ground because we're not pulling down strongholds. We're not pulling down strongholds internally. But we're not pulling down strongholds externally. Guys, we'll go with Holy Spirit. We are not pulling down strongholds internally because our walk isn't right, because our worship, our warfare, there's an internal war, church, that needs to be fought and needs to be won. The war on the inside is not a victorious one, even though the Bible says it should be, even though the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. If the war on the inside, this battle between the spirit man and the flesh that is constantly raging in our members, that Paul describes in Romans 7, if that is not won, if that battle isn't won, then the battle without can't be won. Worship needs to be spiritual. If it's not, stop. No, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. Even here on a Sunday, stop. For singing the same old songs, the same old way, stop. Even as you stand in your area and you look, even as you stand in your area, something has to leap in your heart, in your spirit, that says, God, am I just going to be locked into this screen? Am I just going to be locked into these faces? Or am I going to stop and just think about the one I am worshiping? Amen. Oh man, don't get me wrong, man. You know when we worship, and that sound comes out, and there's a resonance, there's a harmony, there's a beautiful melody, and we're all singing, and we're just like we were doing tonight, but even more so this morning, there was such an atmosphere of worship and praise. I mean, I felt the roof was going to lift off in one second. You know, I'm not saying don't do any of that. Church, what I'm saying is this. There is a ceiling of confinement and containment that has to be broken through. We might not be able to permanently live there, but every now and again, we have to break through to there. There's got to be a breaking through to there, because that is where the hosts of heaven reside. That is where the manifestation of his glory is absolutely, absolutely all consuming. He says, you get that worship right, then you know your walk with me is going to be absolutely right. Because when you worship, you walk. And when you walk, you worship. It's a constant thing. It's a constant thing. And then he says, I've found of David a man who is after my own heart. Oh, kid, I have found of David a man who is after my own heart, a man who will do all of my will, says the Lord. How can one who has everything be looking for somebody? You know, I don't believe that God was looking for David because he had some special destiny upon his life. He did. God wasn't looking for David. God was looking for a worshiper who was after his heart. It could have been anybody. That's just my theory. Of course, David became King David, and he slew Goliath, and he did all these wonderful things in the land of Israel. He became its greatest king, unified king of a unified country. God found a man, a boy, before he found somebody who was willing to worship him in spirit and in truth, and who was willing to do all his will. And that somebody just happened to be David. I have found him. Michael, Gabriel, I've found him. You angels, come here.
Come here. Let me show you this guy right here. He's my son. He's my boy. I pulled him from the sheepfold. I've been looking and looking and looking and looking, and finally I have found him. I've found somebody, someone whose heart is after my own heart, not their own heart, not anyone else's heart, my own heart, who will do all of my will. David worshiped God spiritually. He walked before him spiritually. I don't need to tell you about his warfare. I don't need to tell you about a 17-year-old boy who killed a 40-plus-year-old giant. I don't need to tell you about that. You think it's just about the practice with the lions and the bears and all of those things that went on in the background, in the secret place of preparation. But he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper, because when you're a worshiper, when you break through that place, you recognize Elohim like you've never recognized him before. You know that he is for you and not against you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? There is something about you being able to stand before that giant in the presence of Almighty God and say, I have every right to be here. Oh, you devil, you need to step down from your parapet, because I'm about to take your head off. Amen. It was a warrior king. He was a worshiper king. I don't even know how to finish this, man. I'll start by closing my Bible. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You have some weapons. You need, some of you have just, you've misplaced your weapons. You put them somewhere. Pick them up again. Pick up that weapon. Pick up that weapon. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. I said this morning about not neglecting your prayer life. If you don't know why you're fighting, if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, then there's no point, is there? Just come to church. We'll just come to the house of God. We'll have a wonderful time. We'll have our great, great fellowship with one another. And we'll do what we do every week, week on week on week on week, and work out, week in, week out, week in, week out. We'll do it. Every single week. We'll miss the God appointments, because the God appointments requires warfare, you see. The God appointments are not just God appointments. God appointments, every God appointment is a battleground. Every God appointment is an opportunity for God to show himself strong in someone else's life. Every God appointment. And that's, you see, when you live in this place, when your worship is what it should be, when your walk is what it should be, God says, even as you're walking with me, I'll be walking with you. But son, you can't walk with me if you're not worshiping me right. But if you're worshiping me right, then you know that you're going to walk with me right. And when you walk with me right, you see, because I need you to be my hands and my feet. I need you to be my eyes. I need you to be my ears. And that person that you're about to encounter, I'm going to encounter them through you. As you encounter them, I'm going to encounter them. As you touch them, I'm going to touch them. As you lay hands on them, I'm going to lay hands on them, because you're walking with me in the right way, because you're moving when I'm moving, and when I move, you move. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, son, let's take it to a different level. When you move, I'll move. It's not about me. When I move, you move, because I've seen somebody who knows how to worship me. When you begin to move, I'll move. Little old you, everyday you, ordinary you, simple you, doing such incredible things for God? Absolutely. It's a battleground. Because in that moment of that God appointment, when that person begins to tell you their life story, they're telling you their right life story, because God would have put you there for them to talk to you. And in that moment, somebody is about to be set free from captivity. Someone whose eyes were put out by the devil is about to get new eyes, new spiritual eyes. God is about to use you to cause those eyes to be open again, that they might see the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ, upon whose life, upon your life, child of God. Because when you start to worship God the way you should worship Him, you become a sanctuary. You become a place that is set apart for Him. And His glory abides on the inside of you and is manifested through you. But if you don't know what you're fighting for, if you think that you're only here just to get up and go to work and be around non-Christians and just earn a crust, or maybe you're retired, or maybe you work so many hours in LWC. Oh, thank you, Lord, for our volunteers. Who said anything to you about retirement? Praise the Lord. Oh, retirement versus refinement, you choose. Or maybe that's it. Maybe that's it, where you just, and God has more. He has more for you. Church, I said He has more for you. Amen. He has so much more for you to do. You are His ambassador. You are His representative. You are the one with His glory upon your life. Well, what is man that you are mindful of me, and the son of man that you visit me? You have crowned me with glory and with honor. You are crowned with glory and honor. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. God, shake this church. Baby, could you arrange me some water, please? Shake our lives. Let's all stand. Shake our lives. God, shake us up, Lord. God, shake us up, God. God, shake us up, God. Shake us up, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, shake us up, I pray. All of those structures that we've entrusted in, all of those structures that we built around ourselves that seem to make sense in our lives, oh God, that are keeping us confined, keeping us contained, God, will you shake us up, shake us up, shake, 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 Holy Spirit, shake, 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 oh God, in Jesus' name, shake, we pray, shake, we pray. When Paul and Silas were crying out to God, praising the Lord, worshiping God in the midnight hour, the whole place began to shake, and every prison door was open. Oh God, everything that can be shaken and must be shaken in our lives, oh Lord, let it be shaken by the ferocity of the wind of your love, the wind of your power, the wind of your glory, the wind of your presence, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Before God can shake the church, He needs to shake you. Before God can shake the nation, He needs to shake the church. Before God can shake the nations of the world, He needs to shake our nation. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's got to be something inside of you that says there's more than this. God, there's more than this. I wake up, I do my thing throughout the day, and I go back to bed again. Oh, God, what a waste of my life. Oh, God, what a waste of the anointing. Oh, God, what a waste of the glory. Oh, God, I cry out to you. Use me today, Lord Jesus. Shake me up.